Hey Tiger, this podcast contains language and explicit themes.
Damn, baby. I like it. Damn.
Hey babes, welcome back to This Body, a podcast about being in a body. It's me, Sophia, and it's a couple of days after the big bird murder day in America, otherwise known as Thanksgiving, where 45 million turkeys are massacred because of gratitude for the theft of native land from Indigenous Americans. Needless to say, not my kind of holiday, but I do hope that all of you out there had a lovely break from the drudgery of the system and got to spend time with whomever makes your heart sing. I hope you didn't spend Thanksgiving in the company of people who piss you off. I hope you didn't put yourself in situations that required too much of you or made you feel guilty. I hope you were unburdened by obligation and that you had a good day. I have to be quite honest with you. I hate the holiday season. It's just grueling. It starts too early. It's too intense. It just makes me feel sick. I like the coziness of Christmas and the sweetness of snuggling up with furry friends and celebrating surviving another year. I like the contemplative time between Christmas and New Year. I just don't like the collective energy of everyone engaging in this months-long buying, eating, freaking out, obligation, traveling, all the conformity of it, and also the sadness and depression and longing that afflicts so many of us as a result of living a life. A lot of people don't have a family. A lot of people just lost someone. And a lot of people grieve hard during the holidays. And I hate that for us. I should really go to India for Christmas like I did a couple of times years ago. You don't even know what's happening. It's so refreshing. You can't escape it in America, of course. And then there's the arguing about the whole salutation, Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. For those of you who blessedly don't know what I'm referring to, I'll just ruin that for you now. Christians with mental illness get psycho if you say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas because they think everyone on planet Earth should do what they do. It's so dumb. Try telling about 98% of Indians they need to change their calendars around to center Judeo-Christian traditions. Anyway, Happy Holidays, everyone. I hope you're pleased with yourselves. Just kidding. So, what's been happening? Here in LA, the vibe is pretty high, I reckon. And that's because Kendrick Lamar dropped his surprise new album the other day, and every single song is a banger, a masterpiece, a love letter dripping blood to Los Angeles. It is such an amazing achievement. Like, holy shit, man.
Holy shit, fuckballs. Whoa, girl, fuck, wow, oh my god.
The talent of this guy. He talks a lot about reincarnation on the record, and I believe it. I believe he's the embodiment of something bigger than himself, an amalgamation of the threads of his people, the sutras, if you will. In Indian philosophy, sutras are threads, and they're also the spiritual texts, the sutras, the threads. They all follow on from each other and flow into each other, building upon each other like waves. I think some people come through the world like that, an expression of their lineage, like a fusion with a new thread coming forth from them. And that's Kendrick. He's part of a sequence, part of the great mystery. He has important messages for all of humanity right now. Ooh, it would suck to be Drake. In case you don't know, Kendrick hates Drake and this year basically demolished Drake's career credibility in the most definitive victory in hip-hop history. I don't want to spend any time explaining the Drake-Kendrick beef here at this late stage in the proceedings. You really ought to know. But it all feeds into what I am going to talk about today in this, the third installment of the Yoga Ethics for Modern Living series. I'm going to talk about the third yama, asteya, otherwise known as non-stealing. In Kendrick's track Not Like Us, a full-blown assault and takedown of his mortal enemy Drake, otherwise known as Canadian pop star Aubrey Graham, Kendrick discusses Drake's cultural appropriation of a culture not his own. So Kendrick Lamar is from Compton, California. His parents were originally from the south side of Chicago. His father is a former gangster. His mother was a hairdresser. So he is born and bred a very pure expression of his environment and his people. Drake is 1 year younger than Kendrick. Drake was born in Toronto, Canada, to a successful African-American drummer father and an English teacher and florist mum. When he was 15, he was cast on the show Degrassi High, and then he transitioned into music with incredible success. Drake is half black and half white Jewish, and for a long time, the rap community embraced him. He did a lot of collabs, even a couple with Kendrick, and then things started to go a bit Pete Tong. Drake has sampled a variety of musical styles, including dancehall, South African beats, and whilst it's no big deal in terms of art, adopting a fake Jamaican patois accent is going to get your authenticity called into question if you're from Toronto. Drake did that, and actually so did 90s action star Steven Seagal on this hilarious song called Me Want the Punani. I'll play it for you, hold on. And know this, Steven Seagal is an Irish Jew of Russian descent from Michigan, not a Jamaican man. Me want the body if you make me feel nice. Why? Tell me what you really want all night. Me want the bananas if you make me nice. Me love the way you walk. Sometimes the way you talk is so hot. Now you know, let's have a shot of rum. Then me can make you come with me to the ocean. That would be fat. You can be my bow cat. Nice ital breeze. Bring it to your knees. Oh gosh. So anyway, back to Drake. Some say Drake mimics the styles of other artists, and then when he's done with that, he moves on to his next project. He's a very powerful, very popular artist, but because Drake doesn't have an authentic connection to foundational Black American culture, it's inauthentic and damaging for him to cherry pick aspects of the culture and profit from them. So he's a culture vulture. And Kendrick found that annoying. This is what he had to say about that. Good buddy lied. You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you're not a colleague. You're a fucking colonizer. The family matter and the truth of the matter. Here was God's plan to show y'all the liar. Asteya, non-stealing. On a macro level, a blaring example of stealing is colonization. And that's a double whammy at the very least, because in colonizing native lands from native people by moving in and starting to hoard and overuse the natural resources of that land, the land that was previously taken care of by its native custodians, people who understood the ebbs and flows of the land and lived in accordance with what was available at the time that it was available, well, things got really, really fucked up. and now we're living with those consequences. There are many ways in which we steal. We steal from other cultures. We steal from the earth. We steal from our own futures. And we steal directly from ourselves. And according to the yogic principles and every other spiritual tradition, we shouldn't do that. Asteya, thou shalt not steal. So of course we shouldn't steal in a material sense, sort of, more or less. I mean, it's really debatable at this late stage in capitalism, but you get what I'm saying. We teach the children not to steal from the store. But asteya is deeper and broader than that. Like, what about stealing someone's sunshine? I know it's up for me. If you steal my sunshine, making sure I'm not in too deep. You know those people who leave you feeling drained after hanging out with them? The emotional vampire type? Yes, I've known a few. They only call when they're going through something. When you need a friend, they're nowhere to be seen. They may engage in one-upmanship or dominate the conversation. Maybe they don't celebrate you when you succeed. Maybe they're totally disinterested. Maybe they're jealous and you can feel that jealousy. And maybe you're that person yourself sometimes. Communication is the utmost form of respect, and when we commandeer every conversation for ourselves, we steal from our friends. Good, healthy, robust relationships, they're like gardens that you tend to. They require attention and effort, and I think that people don't really appreciate that in their friendships, certainly not as much as they do in their romantic relationships. So it's about listening, responding, feeding back, holding space for others. It asks us to do just that. Hold space. Not fill it up all the time with stories of our own. This isn't the most natural thing, though. This is something we learn via socialization, attuning to the communication styles of others. When we find someone we like and resonate with, we make an effort to learn about how they communicate. And you know, communication isn't the same for everyone. People living on the autism spectrum, for example, might find traditional conversational manners really confusing. So it's an area of inquiry that runs deep and is ever evolving. No one is born with all of life's skills. No one is born with any skills, actually. We're born with potential, and that potential needs to be recognized by our caregivers and nurtured. So if you feel like you don't have it together, that's okay. No one really does. Every day we face a different terrain. It's like a video game. You just have to stay on it. In the past decade or so, our lexicons changed, our understanding of different mental and physical conditions has evolved. We've gone from pas de deux to can-can, so don't worry if your dancing sucks. And a wise man told me, man, like, life is like a table full of, like, glasses of water, and your job is to keep them all full, you know what I'm saying? So everyone's happy, but at the same time, you gotta keep your pitcher full of water so you can fill everybody else up. And it's like, damn! We all drop the ball all the time. You just have to keep on trying. Every effort moves us forward on the spiral path. Asteya asks us to be mindful of other people's time as well as our own. Stealing another person's time. If we have been practicing ahimsa, nonviolence, and satya, truth, the first two yamas, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go back in the feed. And you can listen to those two before this one. So if we've been practicing ahimsa and satya, then stealing someone's time by lying or by being indirect in our communication, it's already established, it's already a given. Asteya is the next layer, sort of like underscoring a point in case you missed it. When we can't deal with facing our own truths, the hard embarrassing, awkward things about ourselves, the scary things, when we don't face that, that can lead to theft of our own time and, unfortunately, stealing from other people. It's not the intention, but that's what happens, and we're still responsible for that. So the demands and expectations we put on ourselves, often a form of self-abuse. When we are unclear about what we want, or we lack the courage to face ourselves, we start to look outwards at other people, and then we start to lust after what they have, their looks, their money, their accomplishments, their social status. Usually it's presented to us in a really perfectly curated way online, which worsens the longing for that which is not ours. This kind of behavior, the jonesing for stuff that's not ours, it's not very dignified. So in order to ground ourselves in our own lives, we need to focus on our own hopes, our own dreams, and our own goals. And that requires us to get real with ourselves and stop pretending. When it comes to stealing someone's sunshine, that's a place of personal inquiry that we all grapple with from time to time. Like, take note of the feeling of envy in the moment. Hold it up. Put it right in the middle of the room and walk around it. Examine jealousy from all angles. Demystify it as much as possible, because it's usually about an internal itch that needs to be scratched. And that external thing is just a trigger most of the time. Sometimes there's legitimate reasons for jealousy, things that we need to act upon, right? So once you learn to be brutally honest with yourself, you're better able to identify what's real and what's fake. It's not just about downplaying a feeling and pretending it's not happening, because that feeling, it's like a weed. It needs to be yanked out at the root. Otherwise, we risk masking behavior, being fake. And as I said in the episode about truth, Satya, pretending to be a nice person is robbing from ourselves and then robbing from our loved ones and other people, because we're not being authentic, and that just undermines the whole relationship. Babes, if you enjoy this podcast, be sure to rate, share, and subscribe. You can listen on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon Music, and you can find me at Sophia Forever, the pods on IG too. Thanks, Tiger. The thing is, nothing is ours. We don't own a damn thing. It's all on loan, our entire life. Just a kiss on the wind, a cherry blossom blooming, then falling petal by petal to the ground. When you think about life like that, then a stayer is a jewel in our evanescent crown, reminding us to replenish what we take and to loosen our tight grip on that which we love. In Deborah Adele's book on the Yamas and Niyamas, such a great book, I'll link to it in the show notes, she talks about the Sanskrit word adhikara, which means the right to have. And what that means is, if we want something, we need to build our competence in order to get it. So in a practical sense, we can build our adhikara, our right to have, through preparation, through repetition, through study, through work, through being diligent, so that if an opportunity arises, we can take it because we're ready. And to actualize a stayer in our daily lives, we can notice things like, how much is available to us for free? From things like the library, one of the greatest human inventions ever, in my opinion, to the fact of the sunrise and the sunset. The sun rises without our asking and just gives us what we need. Babes, take a stayer with you out into your lives. Tread lightly on the earth. Be careful. Be mindful. Practice lifting others up, giving space to other voices, and know that what is meant for you will come to you especially if you prepare and you plan, there is no need to grip. Next time, I'll be discussing the next yama, brahmacharya, or non-excess, and how it relates to your sex life. So if you haven't already subscribed, do it now. Text the pod to a friend. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/thisbodypodcast, where you can get bonus episodes, early access, and access to previous seasons, all for just $4 a month. Leave a 5-star review, and I will see you next time, good-looking.